Yeah, okay. Any views expressed are the opinion of the guest. It's not a representation because the programming reflects that poll. Politicking with four eyes, it's really no competition. Suffocating with the dope, you know I be twisting. Real ninjas out in the field, now we cotton picking. Not to mention our intention to cover topics and many of the subjects. I got more lines than the deli at the Publix. With King Pharaoh, poll politicking, I'm pistol whipping. Rappers jeopardizing hip hop. Opposition, my opposition, intuition, prediction, like writers on The Simpsons. To witness the glimpses from higher up dimensions, my bitches be fighting gremlins like Phoebe Cates. Let me cook stovetop oven, easy bakes, hydroponic with them seaweed flakes. Yeah, these rappers started from the bottom, power bottom, TD Jakes. Unfollowed, talking about have you ever been swallowed. Regardless of race, color, or creed, you get Apollo'd. We poll, politicking. We straight poll, politicking, ticking. When it's a great show, you got to listen. Listen to that poll, politicking, ticking. This for the poll, politicking, ticking. We straight poll, politicking, ticking. When it's a great show, you got to listen. Listen to that poll, politicking, ticking.
All right, welcome back to PolePolitikin.com, your home for self-help meets hip-hop. Right now we're live on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube, X. Make sure you check it out on Spotify, Apple Music, too. 1212 on Place to Be with the legendary Detroit MC, battle rapper, producer, fat killer. 1212 on Place to Be with Marv One. How you doing?
I'm blessed, man. I'm blessed, man. Thank you for having me, man. Thank you for having me.
No doubt. I'm going to say, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm blessed. Thank you for having
me. Oh, I was trying to get that. I'm fine. Thanks for asking out of you.
We're going to get into it. You can't give it to them all at first, bro.
Yeah, speaking to it, man, I already had a question I had to ask you, man. The people want to know, man. We got to ask you because we feel like you are the perfect person that ask this question too.
Okay.
We need to know what you think about this J. Cole apologizing.
So the mature person in me understands. You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like he probably jumped out of a window out of emotion with a person that, you know what I'm saying, like he ultimately fucks with. I think they do fuck with each other. But the rapper part of me is just like crash out. So I respect it. You know what I'm saying? Like on a larger scale, I can appreciate not watching two black men tear each other down. You know what I'm saying? I still think Kendrick is gonna respond because I think he's just that vindictive. I think he's that kind of person. So I just, you know. I don't think it made J. Cole look soft. I don't think it did any of that. It made him look human. And I think that's very underrated today.
I think I don't know if you heard, but Joe Budden just came out and he was saying that I guess it's really Kendrick and Drake, and this is something bigger than J. Cole. So that's J. Cole dropped out. But I guess he's saying Kendrick and Drake got songs ready for each other, and he's saying it's like epic. That's what Joe Budden just said today. So I'm like, okay, we're going to see. They said that's why J. Cole kind of stepped out the way.
So my only question with that is if Drake and Budden aren't cool, how is Joe Budden getting the exclusive drop?
Right,
On Drake disjoint. You know what I'm saying? That's my only question. But, you know. Stranger things have happened for sure.
And then one of my homies, he's a big Marv One fan, and he wanted to know, have you ever did that in the battle? Have you ever battled somebody then went to apologize to him after the battle?
No. One, because that's not necessarily my style. I'm not a low-hanging fruit kind of battler. And if I said something in the battle, like specifically, like I know where I'm from, and I, you know what I'm saying? I know how we move here. So I know certain things I say are to get a reaction out of you. And if I said something like that, it's because I want you to do something. So I'm not going to apologize. Like, I want it to go. I want it to go where I want it to go. You know what I'm saying? So no, I haven't done that personally. No, not me. I can't.
Yeah,
can't stand
that. Yeah, I'm gonna say, man. Lately, I've been interviewing a lot of Detroit Heat. Man, I had Slum Village on a couple months ago. I had Abstract Mindset. EP, I think she liked the post. She saw I was interviewing. She liked it. Abstract Mindset site.
Okay.
Yeah, now I got you, man. So I'm really happy to have you on. But I kind of just want to let, can you let the listeners know, like, the beginning a little bit, like, what got you into the game? What made you want to MC?
I got into hip hop really, really young. I don't have any physical older brothers. So, like, my older cousins became, like, my surrogate older brothers. And my cousin Chuck, I literally wanted to be like him. So whatever he was into, I was into. And it just so happened, you know what I'm saying, that he was into like hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like I remember hearing It Takes a Nation of Millions to Hold Us Back. I remember the first rap song I ever memorized word for word was 9mm Goes Bang.
That shit hard though, huh?
Productions. So I've always, like, it's always been embedded. Like, it's never been a time that I can remember where it wasn't. And I guess I started like taking it serious when there were some dudes from my neighborhood who were going to the studio, and it was just amazing to me because I couldn't imagine, like, oh, these are the same dudes I see at the store. These are the same dudes I hoop with. And then, you know what I'm saying, they're playing their own music in their cars and shit like that. Like, it's just, like, it blew me away. So, and that was around maybe 14 or 15. And I had my first studio session when I was 15. And I knew what my purpose was, or what I, you know what I'm saying, what I think my purpose is. I haven't looked back. You know what I'm saying?
You used to hoop?
No. I never hooped. I played football a little bit, but I'm just saying, like rap is the thing that I was like, oh, this is what I'm here for. Like, this is what I'm doing. Like, I knew that very young.
Then what came first? Like, the producing, the rapping?
Rapping for sure. Like, I was a super rapper. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was a freestyling fucking, I could rap for 20, 30 minutes. Like, it was always rap. I didn't get into producing. Like, I always knew how to produce, but I didn't take it serious until years later. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always knew how to make a beat, but I wasn't even labeling myself as a producer. You know what I'm saying? So rapping definitely came first.
Did you, like, how did you develop your craft? Because I'm like, you so sharp with it. Like, you just, like, top tier pen. So how did you... Somebody, like, did you, I know you were saying you were studying, so did you study certain people, or you just kind of made your own style?
So the thing is, and I know it's going to sound very cliche, but, like, I'm legitimately a fan of my friends. And when I was coming up, you know what I'm saying, trying to get a name in the city of Detroit, there were a lot of people who I legitimately, like, studied. I studied Guilty Simpson. I studied, King Gordy, I studied Elza, I studied Fat Father, I studied Miss Corona. Like, I studied all of these people because even though they were my peers, like, I still thought they were at a level that was higher than mine. So I have no problem saying that I'm a legit amalgamation of every rapper from Detroit around that era. I had the best teachers right here in my backyard, for sure.
And then I'm in San Diego, so, you know, I'm West Coasting. So okay. What do you want anybody listening? So what should they know? What makes Detroit hip hop so special?
So I get a lot of flack for this. I understand that hip hop started in New York. I appreciate that. I understand that hip hop became big business in the West. I appreciate that. But if you're talking pound for pound, technically, like technical rappers, I believe that Detroit, Michigan produces the best rappers like on the planet. Now, whether you're a conscious rapper, or whether you're a backpack rapper, or whether you're a quote unquote street rapper, we all follow the same blueprint. The only thing that's different is the content. But when you write those bars out, whether you're talking about selling dope or whether you're talking about growing plants, it's still technically going to be really, really good. And I think we produce the best rappers.
I was going to say, when you say y'all all follow the same blueprint, what is that blueprint?
I think vivid imagery. I think high syllable counts. I think very, very stitched patterns. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can talk, like, we're going to talk about different things, but we're going to say it the same way. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're a person who doesn't rap about guns, you know what I'm saying, or rap about street shit, that's cool. But the way you rap, like the way you put your words together, is going to be very similar to the person that does. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're really big sticklers on words and patterns and pockets. And we do that. I think we do that better than anybody.
Mm. Who would you say who would you put up as your Mount Rushmore of Detroit rappers?
Royce da 5'9", Guilty Simpson, Elzai, Eminem.
I remember back in the day when I was young, I had a friend, he always was telling me about Esham.
Well, Esham is the father, I believe, of like horrorcore rap. Esham had this tape. Esham had a tape out here called Booming Words from Hell. It was a red tape. It was an independent tape. It was his. And that shit swept through the hood like wildfire. Like legit. Like, and he talked like a lot of the wicked shit, like a lot of like acid rap and stuff like that. So he definitely made, like, without him, there would be no Slim Shady version of Eminem. There would have been no ICP. There would have been no Grave Diggers. It would have been none of that. Like, Esham legit was the first to do that. And he was independent. Like, he was selling like hundreds of thousands of units, like from like out his crib, like out the trunk, like legit. Esham was one of them.
And then what year did you get into battle rap?
So I think when you first start rapping, like we all get into rap by battling, you know what I'm saying? Like, first you want to be the best nigga in your school, and you want to be the best nigga on your block, or you know what I'm saying, then in your hood and the city, blah blah blah. So I had been battling a minute, but I guess I really got into battling when I was like 17, 18, like right after high school. And I was trying to make my name. And you know, that's the easiest way to be heard. At that time it was, because the internet wasn't really prevalent. So like, you had to go around, like if you said you was the best, you had to prove it. So I got into battling maybe about 17, 18. And it's amazing to me that 20 years later, you know what I'm saying? Like, people still want to hear, you know what I'm saying, what I have to say. Or people, you know what I'm saying? People still fucking with me. And like, that's super humbling.
Hey, it's three things in life though, right?
Death, taxes,
legend status, man. That's it, man. That's tight. That bars. I was gonna say, but do you feel like where is that now? Do you feel like is a good spot, or you like, nah, I can take it further? Cause I hear you I heard you in a couple of your battles, you'd be like, man, this battle shit crazy. So it's like, where you think, where is that now?
I think it's a double-edged sword. I think it's really incredible that battle rapping has allowed certain people to be able to make careers out of it and take care of their families. When you look at like a Hitman Holla or a Conceited or Charlie Clips, then those people being able to translate battle rap onto like TV and stages and movies and shit like that, and being able to legitimately take care of their families by doing something they love, I think that's the ceiling. But I think the other end of that is because a lot of younger people are coming into it not necessarily wanting to be the best; they just want that success. That they end up following like this blueprint, like it's like really cut and paste. So a lot of originality is missing. Like it sounds like an assembly line. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like everybody's coming off the assembly line doing the same thing. So it kind of loses there. But like I think there's more good than bad. And I'm super happy for the space that allows like young men and women to be heard. You know what I'm saying? Like and express their talents. So I'm super happy about that. I'm always happy about the culture moving forward.
Hmm. And then what's some of your favorite battles you had so far?
I do think that I did a 2-on-2 with my partner Quest. We battled my man's Chess and Steams from Cakes. I think that was really good.
I was just listening to that one. That was good. I was listening to that one.
It was really good. I think my first URL battle, which was against my man Cortez, was really good. I feel like I've had some really good battles over the years. So like I've had so many that it's fucking hard to narrow them down. I think I've had more good battles than bad, so I'm cool with that.
Is that Obese brand yours? Cause I see you wearing them shirts a lot. Yeah, shit's hard. I'm about to give me one. Cause I'm obese too, shit.
but what people don't know is that it's an acronym.
Right.
So it's Overt Benevolence Eliminates Stale Energy. Like that's what it is.
That's
hard. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, bro. You gotta get that shit out. You gotta get that stale energy out your life, man. You gotta rise above it. So there's a little play on words, man. You know, just trying to be cute out here. That's all.
So what do you do for do you meditate or what do you do for your energy? Get your vibrations up.
I drink whiskey, bro. That's it.
My vibrations go down. So how you drinking your vibrations go up?
Because man, I drink high quality whiskey, man. When you put high quality shit into your body, man, you get the. Nah, it is. I don't know, man. I guess I'm naturally a calm person. When I was younger, I had like a bad temper, but I guess now, like I'm just like a lot of shit rolls off me because I know. Like I know what tunnel vision I have to have. So a lot of shit don't bother me. Like I'm usually very even keel. Like a lot of times I just refuse to give people the satisfaction of them being able to control my mood. Like I don't ever want to get nobody that. So I don't necessarily need meditation. Like I don't necessarily need I don't need to go find like a quiet spot or light a candle or some shit. Like I'm usually good. Like I'm usually good, bro.
Yeah, I feel like with me, I'm the same way. I feel like if I get somebody to make me react a certain way, that means they got me. So you got to control your emotions no matter what the situation is.
Yeah.
And then I was going to ask you, so I was listening to that song, man. It's like that song was hard, that Lenny Cook.
Shouts to Lenny Cook. He actually hit me up about that song, too. That's crazy.
But I was going to ask you because I was just trying to lie. I was like, man, I know Raffi have other meanings. I was like, is that how you was thinking about yourself? Like, do you view yourself as a Lenny Cook?
Yeah, definitely.
And why is that?
There was a time where I definitely felt that talent beat work. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, there was a time where I mistook talent for value. Talent doesn't necessarily equal value. Like, it's a lot of niggas who aren't super talented that will outwork the person in the room, so they have more value to a situation. And I kind of felt I remember watching a documentary on Lenny, and that's like legitimately like a lot of things like that were being said like about him, like in his career and his early goings, like that's what was being said about me here in the city. You know what I'm saying? And I knew I was in a space where once I got all my success, I couldn't handle it. You know what I'm saying? And that's legitimately how I felt when I looked at Lenny. I was like, oh, the parallels are crazy. So that's where the song came from. Like, it wasn't a diss, but it was, you know, it was realism, bro. Like, you can have all the talent in the world, bro, but if you don't apply it, then it don't matter. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And that's where the concept of that song came from.
That's real. That's crazy that actually he reached out to you. So what did he say to you?
I just said good shit. I was like, okay, cool, we good. You know what I'm saying? I was like, we good.
Yeah, actually, I was actually going through the comments on that video, and a lot of people, they were saying like how out of all the battle rappers, you're like basically the top one that can make music, like make albums. Because a lot of, I don't know why. I was going to ask you, why is there that a lot of battle rappers can't put out albums?
So that's not true. I think the stigma comes from at a time where labels were looking at battle rappers, because all of the signed artists and stuff like that, like they look at battle rappers as the ones who push the culture forward. They look at battle rappers as the most creative. So what labels were looking for was the same dynamic that people had on stage. They were expecting them to be that on songs. And you know what I'm saying? Like, that wasn't necessarily the case with the people at the time that they were looking at. So they just put this scarlet letter on like all battle rappers, like we couldn't make music. And it's not true, especially today. I can name you 20 battle rappers that make incredible music. Quest McCody makes incredible music. The Saga makes incredible music. Big Cannon, New Jersey Twerk, Sue Surf makes incredible music. Like, and it's not even just the dudes, like 40 Bars makes great music. Shayna Ashley makes great music. Like, there's like T-Rex makes great music. It's a lot of us who really make good music. And I hate that it gets overlooked because of some archaic ass way of thinking. Like we're not the same people who they were going to before. Like, we understand the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, battle rappers are charting. Like, bro, like I charted number 9 on iTunes. You know what I'm saying? The day my album dropped. Like, it's not just battle rapper. Like, we're legit rappers. And a lot of us are good artists. And I hope, you know, I hope people take the time out to do their due diligence before they make statements like that.
Yeah, shout out to I know Serve, he was the past guest too. Shout out to him. I know he's still locked down. Mm-hmm, then Free the wave. We had Sirius Jones on too. That's probably the guy I interviewed the most out of everybody. He's like one. I had him on like 4 or 5 times on the show.
Oh, all right.
The home. Yeah. And okay. Then actually, I want to ask you about kind of like the female rappers too, because we actually I had Miss Hustle on a little while ago. I know she's really dope, but what do you think about? I'm a big fan of the female battle rappers too, but what do you think about them?
I love it. I love that they're able to show their creativity. You know what I'm saying? There are some young ladies who are much better writers than a lot of guys. Like, I think 40 Bars is one of the best writers in battle rap. Like, there's a young lady named Fendi who I think is one of the best writers in battle rap. Like, Shayna Ashley, Shuni the Rapper, a young lady named Jay. Like, it's a lot of young ladies who get crazy. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to battle rap, it's not as one-sided with dudes as they like to make it sound. It's not. A lot of these women are smoke some of us. You know, well, smoke some of them. They can't smoke me. But a lot, you know what I'm saying? They'll smoke them. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm just happy. Like, I'm super happy that everybody is being able to showcase their talents and profit from it. Like, I'm super happy for that.
So, and then we wanted to go into the album a little bit. So, yeah, man, I was checking it out. Let me see which songs I like the most on here. I like all of them. It wasn't nobody. I mean, it was actually like a straight playthrough. It wasn't nothing that I had to skip over or it was solid. I liked it. I liked the production. Yeah.
Thank you. Let me ask you this. What song did you like the least?
The least? Mm-hmm. I liked all of them. It wasn't really none I liked the least. I liked them all. It wasn't even, I'm trying to think. It wasn't nothing that I didn't like. Like, I actually liked all of them. Like I said, I let them play. Okay. Then, like I said, the production is solid. Then you come on and spin. So it's just good. Like, it really.
Yeah. When I ask people when I talk to people about the project, that's the question that I usually ask them. Like, what song did you like the least? You know what I'm saying?
I guess I would say number 1.
Really?
The only reason I would say that, man, because I'm just used to, like, I be wanting like some bars on the first, I'm just used to like the mob, you know, some crazy on the first intro song. So it was kind of like just a phone call and you spin, but it wasn't like, you know what I'm saying? I was ready for that. Ugh. So I get, if I had to pick a song, like I said, it wasn't nothing I really didn't like. But
okay.
And then my favorite song was that dude, he's like, The one is like, niggas talk about the bottom. I seen it. Cause I was like, okay, I felt that shit when he said that. And I've been to the bottom and I seen that shit. So I felt it. Dude, I like the purple. I like the higher. Of course, I like the Roc Nation brunch. But I say, so you never went to a Roc Nation brunch?
No, I haven't. And now it don't look like I'll ever go to one because they're probably gonna get rid of it now. So that's what it looked like.
All right, we got some comments to say East Side Hoes and Money.
Yeah, I am from the East Side. And I do love Hoes and Money. I do love Hoes and Money. Come on, nigga. Shouts to my upstairs gang. Shouts to my man Minnesota.
I'm here upstairs.
Yeah, shouts to Phil. Shouts to my man Slick. We lit gang shit.
So what was the I just want you to talk about more just the creation of the album, like the process, like how long did it take you to make the album and the process and some of that?
It was a nice little minute. It was a nice little minute only because the songs were, I was very apprehensive about presenting some of the ideas and some of the songs to people. You know what I'm saying? Like it was very introspective. It wasn't as rappy as a lot of people have come to, you know what I'm saying, expect from me. So it took me a minute. And then, you know, I was super meticulous about the beats. I knew what I wanted it to sound like before I created it. Like I knew what I wanted it to sound like. And it just started off as a couple joints. You know what I'm saying? Like it started off as songs that were like more for me than anybody else. It started off as songs that were more like therapeutic than expecting an audience. So once I got a couple of those, it was like, oh shit, this could be something. And then, you know, it took me a couple months to really, really flesh out the idea of what I wanted from start to finish. I'm not an artist who has like extra songs and shit like that. Like I know I'm pretty concise with what I want. So when I finished those 10 songs, I was like, oh, okay, this is the project. Like it was wrapped up in my head. You know what I'm saying? When I came up with those 10 songs. So it took me a couple months, and then, you know, I took it to my man Maestro Williams over at Silent Riot to put the razzle dazzle on it, make it sparkle. And I was super lucky and super blessed that Mellow Music Group heard it and reached out, you know what I'm saying, and wanted to partner with me on it. Like I'm super humbled by that. Like it's a really good environment over there for artists. And you know, I'm content. Like I'm really content with the way, you know what I'm saying, that is being presented and how it's being received. Like super happy with the project.
And I'll ask you, did you do all of the production?
Yeah, I did all the production, yeah.
Damn, that shit hard. So how long have you been like what do you use and how long have you been doing the beats too? Because that's just dope. Oh, it all sounds good.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Like I've been doing beats, like I've known how to make beats forever. I didn't necessarily start doing beats until maybe 10 years ago, like on a consistent for real basis. I still use machine. You know what I'm saying? Like I started off as a 2000 XL nigga. And my man, Mr. Porter, my man Denine was like, hey, you have to get off of that old ass. You have to get off of that old ass hardware. Like, bro, like nobody's using this anymore. So we went out, got a machine. And I've been on that for years, and I'm making magic on that little bitch. So, like I'm super happy with it.
And then just talk about your creation process a little bit.
Man, my creation process is: I literally wake up, I brush my teeth, I check my emails, and then I come sit at this desk that I'm at right now, turn on my computer and my microphone, and I just let it go, like whatever it is. Like whatever it is, I let it go. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not rocket science, bro. A lot of people try to make it rocket science and it's not. You know what I'm saying? You don't necessarily need, you don't need the huge studio. You don't need pounds of weed. You don't need 50 people in the studio. Yes, man, and you to death. You know what I'm saying? Like, I record my own vocals and then I make my own beats. I'm really good with being as self-contained as I can be. You know what I'm saying? Like it helps my creative process. I'm not on anybody else's time. You know what I'm saying? So that's what it was. I woke up, or even if I had an idea in the middle of the night, I know I could wake up or come up to this room and put it and put the idea down. And if I got to go back, if I got to go back in the morning and retool it and retouch it, then I can. Like, it's not as difficult as people would like to, as they would like to make you believe it is. It's not.
So what
it just work. You got to put the work in.
So where is your drive and passion for this, to do it every day and to work every day? Where does that come from?
Oh, because I don't want to go punch anybody's clock.
Mm.
I don't want to work for anybody else but myself. I would rather rise and fall betting on me than making somebody else rich in the process. And I have no problem with anybody who does that, because I think that takes a special type of discipline. Unfortunately for me, I don't think I was born with that. I don't deal with authority well. I don't take directions well at all. So it's probably just better for me if I find something that I can do on my own. You know what I'm saying? And try to make it profitable. And by the grace of God, I've been able to do that for 20 years. There have been some lean nights for sure, but I'm super happy with my decision to bet on myself. Because it looks like it's paying off right now.
And then
I'm here talking to you.
I would say, did you always, like, so this 20-year journey, did you always, like, day one, did you have a team, or did you have to, like, you know, bump your head a few times, say, hey, I need a team, so how did it go for you?
I think I've been really blessed. Like, I've always been around, like, super creative and loyal people. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that everybody is a lesson. You know what I'm saying? Like they may not necessarily be the best for you, but they're a lesson. And like everybody I've been around, whether it's been my initial production team, Silent Riot, whether it's been Mr. Porter, whether it's been Royce 5'9", whether it's been my man Hex Murder, like whether it's been the Fat Killers, whether it's been, like, I've been able to learn from everybody. So I've always had people around me that I respect. You know what I'm saying? And I value their opinion. So I'm very blessed that I've surrounded myself with those kind of people. So I'm never gonna say I just did it on my own. That would be a lie. You know what I'm saying? I have an ordained team of people that's been placed with me. So I'll always show them love for that.
And then my homie Ro, he's a big fan of you. He says he's been watching you for a while, but he said you and Quest McCoy is kind of like one of the first early rap battle duos. He said y'all started, like, he said he remember from like 09.
Yeah, so yeah, it was pretty early. And I say we kind of made it acceptable for people who look like us. You know what I'm saying? Like before us, it was lightweight. It just wasn't for us. You know what I'm saying? And I do think that we made it cool for us. I'll never make the argument that we're the best, but I'll definitely make the argument that we're the greatest for sure. You know what I'm saying? Like, shout out to my man Quest McCody. You know what I'm saying? We have been, it's probably been about since 09 maybe.
But what's the difference?
In what? Oh, the greatest and the best?
Yeah.
So the best is talent. The best is talent. The greatest is impact. I definitely think for what it is. Like, you can say that Michael Jordan was the best basketball player, but there's an argument that Bill Russell is the greatest person to ever play the game. He got 11 rings. You know what I'm saying? Like that's the difference. So there may be somebody who's a better rapper than me, or you know, there may be a better, yeah, you know, a team of rappers who are better. Or a team of rappers who are more electrifying, but it's not a team who means more. And I definitely think that makes us the greatest.
And then, so what do you say, like what? I guess what are you working on right now? Like, what? For, I know you dropped the album, but like, are you planning to go on tour?
Just pushing this album. I'm trying to put this album in front of as many people as I can. I want as many ears on it as possible because I believe in it that much. You know what I'm saying? I'm about to go and start making my radio runs, and in between then, I still got a couple battles lined up. I'll be in London in June. I'll be in Alaska in June. I still got some shit lined up, but the ultimate goal is to go out on tour and present this music to as many people as I can. Like, that's the goal.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I was reading a lot of people was kind of saying album of the year already.
Yeah, as they should. It's the album of the year. It's the album of the year. I feel like I dropped the album of the year. I feel like you're gonna have to drop a bad bitch in order for it to be better than mine this year. Mm-hmm. I feel like that. But I feel like every artist should feel like that about their product. I'm willing to stand behind mine for sure. For sure.
So when you're not battling, you're not making music, what do you like to do outside of music?
I mean, I'm a sneaker collector. Mm. I'm a sneaker collector. And I just got into Tiger PGA Golf on PlayStation 5. Shouts to my Tiger Talk gang, man. We be smoking shit.
How is it?
Oh, man, it's great. If you play Tiger Woods on Xbox 360 back in the day, it's that. You know what I'm saying? So that's all it is. Yeah. When we get done doing this, I'm gonna turn it on and play in a few. But yeah, that's it, bro. I stay out the way. I love traveling. I love putting that shit on, buying shoes, good meal, good whiskey. I'm real simple, bro.
What's your favorite shoes you got so far?
That I own?
Yeah.
So I have. So you know what? Favorite shoes that I own. A friend of mine, my man Ro Spit. You know what I'm saying? Shouts to my man Ro Spit. He owns a sneaker store out here called Burn Rubber, and he owns their sister store, which is 218. Last year, he did a collaboration with Jordan. He did a Jordan 2. He did a low top Jordan 2 that I was able to get my hands on. And for sentimental reasons, I think that's the favorite shoe that I own. That's my favorite shoe for sentimental reasons. Just for a purchase, I got a pair of red Raekwon, only built for Cuban Links Diadoras, that I really, really love. I'm trying to get my hands on the purple ones. Those are probably the two standouts. I like at this and now I'm a Croc nigga too. Like I'm completely dressing for comfort at this point, bro. I'm not dressing. I'm not dressing for style. You know what I'm saying? So you can either catch me in a pair of New Balance 580s or some Crocs, bro. That's it.
That's funny, you wearing no Crocs.
Look, but I don't wear the nurse Crocs though. You know what I'm saying? Like I still get the ones that's fresh. I still get I got a pair of Soleil Ben Berry Crocs, you know what I'm saying? A black designer. Shouts to Ben Berry. Like I got those. Like I don't got the regular ones that you can put like gibbets in and shit. I'm not doing that. I'm not a CNA. But I got some you know what
I'm saying? Then shit. I be hearing wrestling line sometimes. So you watch wrestling?
I haven't watched wrestling in a very long time.
Then you watch WrestleMania?
I did not watch WrestleMania. A lot of my friends did and they were really, really excited. But I haven't. I haven't watched wrestling since
WWE. He talking about Mr. Perfect.
So that was my era when I was a kid. Like I haven't watched wrestling since the Monday Night Wars. Since Nitro and Raw. That was the last time I watched wrestling.
And then
years ago.
I want to ask you about your relationship with Proof because I heard you mention him in your rhymes.
Yeah, man. Proof was legitimately like the Yoda to a lot of us here in the city of Detroit. He was really, really, he is really, really important. He showed us how to be a bridge from success, you know what I'm saying, to still being humble. You can see Proof on the fucking Grammys on Sunday, and then on Wednesday, you can see him in a dive bar freestyling, rapping, you know what I'm saying? Like, I legitimately miss my friend. You know what I'm saying? He was one of the first people that took a liking to me and actually signed me. I was actually signed to Proof for a moment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I try to take a lot of the things that he taught me and all the people that he kept around him and try to implement them today with the younger generation, with the Courtney Bells and then the Signs and the Nolans. And like, it's like in the Young Rocks, like I just try to take the things that he taught me and teach them. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to let his message or his teachings like fade away. Like, I don't want them to be in vain.
Mm. So I guess that's a good segue. I would say, what advice would you give to aspiring artists that's looking to break into the music or the battle rap scene?
Stay the course. Stay the course, bro. If it's something you want to do, keep doing it. If it's something that you're trying to get instant gratification with, then you're going to be disappointed 9 times out of 10. But if it's something that's of you, and it's something that you know you're good at, or something that you're willing to work to be better at, just stay the course, bro. Like, really, really fight through the storms, because there's going to be a couple. It's going to be a couple storms, and it's going to test you. It's going to see what you made of. Don't let it win, legitimately. That's what I tell niggas all the time. Stay the course. Like, keep fighting. Keep walking. Don't turn around. Because ain't nothing behind you.
So that's the question, too. I'm going to say, what are some challenges you faced in your career, and then how did you overcome them?
So my whole thing was just, like, I felt I wasn't being heard. I felt I wasn't being heard. Also, you know, hindsight is 20/20. I can look back now and realize that I wasn't as good as I thought I was. But I was always a student of the game. So I felt like I was always willing to learn to get better. And I surrounded myself with people who are better than me. If you're the best person in your crew, you need another crew. You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to be very difficult to learn. And that's legitimately what all this shit is about. Learning new things and applying it. Like, the way I rap now, I couldn't imagine that I would be, like, I thought I was the shit when I was 18, 19. I listen to it now and be like, wow, that was garbage. I kept evolving. You know what I'm saying? I kept learning. I kept becoming a better version of myself. Like, that's the only thing you can do. That's the only thing you can do, whether it's in fucking sports, whether it's in regular life. Like, you just got to keep evolving and keep allowing yourself to grow so you can become a better version of yourself. Because once you hit your ceiling, what's the point of life?
Yeah, I guess. So you were saying keep evolving. So say you have a crew, and at first you're not the best, but then you keep evolving, so then you come the best. Does that mean you leave that crew and find another crew?
No, or? No, not at all. Because if you're evolving, that means that the people around you will evolve too. You know what I'm saying? Like, if they're the right people, like they'll keep evolving as well. You can all legitimately just live off of each other. You can become your own ecosystem. But if it's just like if you're just in a crew full of dick suckers, you know what I'm saying? It's just telling you everything you do is the best thing since sliced bread. You should probably go out and find some other people to bounce your ideas off of, because you're not gonna get no better. Like, you already think you're there.
All right. And say we put this interview in a time capsule 100 years from now. What do you want whoever opens it up? What do you want them to know about who you were?
Look, bro, I'm Marv One. I'm from the east side of Detroit. I'm 1/4 Fat Killa. I'm 1/3 101. I'm 1/2 King and Duck. I'm 156 of the Upstairs Gang. I'm 1/5 of the Jersey Boys. Like, I just want them to know, you know, that I was good at what I decided. I was good at what I tried to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want you. When they break the capsule open in 50, 60 years, I want them to know that I gave a fuck. I legit gave a fuck. Like, I cared. So that's all I care about. Like, I just want to, like, I want to move everything forward. And I hope I did with my music, especially with this project.
Now, I was going to ask you, so you were talking about your city, Detroit. And I was going to ask you, how did you feel when you won that Detroit MC of the Year award?
I thought I could have won it a couple years prior too.
Oh, okay.
But you know what I'm saying? But I, like, again, you know what I'm saying? Like, to be recognized in the city where I'm from with so many good rappers, like, it was cool. But I didn't rest my hat on it, because I knew next year it was going to be somebody who was probably waiting to kick my fucking teeth in. Like, if I got comfortable, you can't never get comfortable, bro, around talent, because it keeps growing. And if you stop growing, it'll fucking eat you. So I was super humbled to be recognized by my city for it. Like, it really meant the world to me. But You take a day, you look at that award, you put it down. I don't even know where that award is, respectfully. I don't want to get lost in it. I don't want to get lost in it.
I'm going to ask you, so far as with the battle rapping, like, how do you, like, because you've been doing it so long, so how do you even come up with new lines?
Muscle memory. I just think you get to the point where you start, you can start seeing punchlines and everything. Because of the type of rapper I am, like, I can legitimately see a punchline, put it in a folder, so I know I come back to it. I know it's there when I need it. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's just because I've been doing it for so long. It's legit. Like, it's legit muscle memory. Like, that's all it is. And then, like, just the nervousness of going out and getting smoked. Like, I don't want that. Like, my ego can't take that. So you still want to present good work. I'm super. Yeah, what's up, Nate Bay? I'm fine. Thanks for asking. Available now everywhere. Yeah, that's it, bro.
So my me and my girl was watching. We was watching you. Then it was the other guy, but she was like, he wrote that down. He ain't freestyling. And I was like, well, they're not freestyling all the time, but they do kind of take something that the guy said and throw it. Like, the good ones always take something back what the guy said right then in the battle and throw it back. Mm-hmm. You know,
a rebuttal.
But you're not. I mean, but are people just straight freestyling? Like, what do you think? Is it people freestyling?
Absolutely not. Like, because the thing now is you want to present the best product. And if you're a better writer than you are a freestyler, you still want to present the best version of yourself. So that's why they give you time to prepare. Like, they give you, like, so you can present the best version of yourself. You would be a fool to go into a gunfight with a knife. And that's essentially what it is. You know what I'm saying?
Is it any rapper saying they freestyle? Is any rapper, battle rapper that freestyles that you know of, or all of them you gotta, like, write it?
No. I think there are some who are really good at the art of freestyling, but I don't think there's anybody who's 100% freestyling in written battles. No, not at all.
And then Mellow Music Group made a comment about the Cowboy Carter picnic next.
Come on. Yeah, come on. Yeah, we going, Mike. It's lit. It's lit. So, we going to the Cowboy Carter picnic.
What is that?
Because Beyonce is the best artist in the world right now. She's taking over country music. She's Cowboy Carter. So that's what they finna do.
That's what's up. He said, get your virgin ears hip to good music. Right.
Come on, man.
Right,
right. It's my little baby. Come on, man.
Yeah. So how do you feel about the newer generation of the hip hop you listen, like, now out now?
I love it. Like, it's their expression. I understand that their message may not be for me as a 43-year-old man, and I can appreciate that. The same way that Wu-Tang's message wasn't for my mom. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think we have to get out of this thing of like expecting things to get stagnant or expecting things to stay the same. Like I hate an old bitter ass person, bro. Like,
right.
let these kids do what they do. Some of it is entertaining. I think Ray Shremmerd is one of the best groups of all time. I think Migos is a top three group.
Oh yeah, Migos hard. Yeah, you remember it, like. I remember at first, because I'm just, that's why I guess I like your music and everything, because we same age pretty much. I'm 43, mm-hmm. So you talking about what I go through too. But the Migos, I remember at first it was like, man, Bone and Migos had a beef, but I was like, man, Migos is up there. I know Bone is up there too, but shit, Migos ain't no punk now. They was Bone or watch them. Like, I don't know about that.
But also let them have their time, bro. Like, let it go. Grow up, like, legit grow up, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all it is, man. Let those kids have their time. I can appreciate it. I can hear it and accept that it's not for me. I don't have to down it in the process. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to clown it in the process. Like, I just know it's not for me. Just like I know Rock Marciano is not for a 17-year-old kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm cool with that. He was like niggas should be more cool with staying in the space that's cool for them.
Yeah, I saw you battling Saint, and I was like, oh, that's cool, man. Cause I was like, you battling these youngsters, and I was like, he don't even gotta do that. But I was like, that's cool that you're doing that, because, like, you giving them shine. So I was like,
oh, yeah, man. Shouts to Saint, man. Shouts to Saint. He did a really good job. He won that tournament. You know what I'm saying? Won a couple dollars. I know he was able to do some things for his mom And that's legit what it's all about. You know what I'm saying? So shot or not, you know what I'm saying? Like we putting people in positions to do shit for their people. Like I'm always happy to be a part of that.
Yeah, I even heard you like doing the battle, like when he was saying, right, good lines, you were like, that's a good one, good one. I was like, okay. So I see, like, it's like, to me, it would seem like, okay, you really trying to like keep moving forward, keep it going with the new generation.
Bro, it it takes nothing away from me to support somebody else. Like, bro, I'm still gonna be top 10 coolest nigga that anybody's ever met. You know what I'm saying? So like, I'm not threatened. I'm not threatened by anybody older or younger about my spot. Like, I'm cool. Right. I'm good, man. I'm really, really fine, bro. Thanks for asking.
And then I want to say thank you for coming through politicking with me.
I appreciate you, brother. Thank you for having me, man. Good luck with your show. Shouts to everybody watching, my upstairs gang, my Mellow Music Group people. And thank you to everybody who went out, listened to the album. I hope you liked it enough to go purchase it. That's what we need. Go out and buy that vinyl. Go out and buy them tapes. Go out and buy them CDs. It's out everywhere, man. I'm fine. Thanks for asking. Shouts to Freeway and Rapper Big Pooh and Elzai and Fat Father and The Saga and Nate Curry and Quelle Chris and Monica Blair, like everybody who helped me put it together. Shouts to my man Maestro Williams, who helped me with the production. Shouts to my man Mario Butterfield on the artwork. It's everywhere, bro. It's album of the year. I dropped album of the year. What month is this? April. I dropped album of the year in April. Legit. Fuck with me. Fuck with me, Shouty.
Yeah, I would say you want to tell them you got your website, social media, and everything. I got
for sure.
Instagram right there.
Yeah, it's Marvon on everything. MARVWON. Shouts to Mellow Music Group. That's where you can find the album. It's everywhere. Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, Tidal. Like, anywhere fine music is sold, bro, you can find me.
Yeah, then fuck with me. My friend, he always wants me to ask people, how did you come up with your name?
With my name? So my name was given. So my name was given to me by. That's a perfect last question too. My name was given to me by one of my OGs who's no longer here. Shouts to my man Big Cobb, RIP. When I started rapping around the city, I didn't have a rap name, so it was legitimate. Like I was legitimately just like entering battles as Marv. You know what I'm saying? And he hit me up one day and was like, yo, I got your rap name. I said, okay, what is it? He said, so anytime I ask people who won the battle, the answer is usually, oh shit, Marv won. So that's your name. MARV space WON, period. It's actually a statement. My rap name is Marv won. Like I'm a winner in life.
Legit. All right, y'all. We out. Shout out to Marv One. Make sure y'all get that. I'm fine. Thanks for asking. It's everywhere. I'm of the year. Make sure y'all get some shirts too. Y'all get my shirt. I got the link at the bottom.
Okay. Shameless plug.
Yep. Indeed. All right.